other business, and it'd be a workshop, just for discussion for the windmills and solar panels.
All right, let me just interject here something else that you see in front of you. It's footer inspection. I'll run through this real quick for you.
Let me go over there. Okay, please do.
The state requires now that we inspect footer inspections, okay, and we have to have so much rebar in there, and the holes have to be just right, and tie downs and et cetera. So we hand this out, and I talked to, the board has asked me to look into why, when they place the mobile homes, why it sometimes does the applicant that comes in here have to pay the price of the mobile home manufacturer placing the home there, and it's already in encroachment. In other words, he says, I'll take care of everything. You buy the mobile home from me, I'll take care of everything. I'll get the permit, and I'll make sure it's set correctly.
Well, they don't. We could deny it based on the fact that it's...
Well, okay, we're going to try and approach that problem where the at the time of the footers, before it's even there, that they are requested that a preliminary drawing of the unit placement must be submitted at the time of the footer inspection, showing that all Sussex County zoning setback requirements will be met.
Okay.
I tried to go through the state, and the state, because this is a state requirement, the footer inspections and the tie downs, that's a state requirement which we have to take care of. But when I approached the state and asked the Van Milligan, to who is our supervisor of building code, to see what they could do for us, they didn't want anything to do with it. Of course, they would have to do it for Kent County, they'd have to do it for everybody, right? So I come up with this wording to see if we can't solve that problem and see if it won't eliminate an awful lot of these. Because when they come in to get this, they've got to show, and I can have that as evidence, they've got to show that they've met the setbacks.
Right.
Well, can we impose these fees for inspection fees without the County Council's approval?
Oh, yeah, they were already approved.
They were
approved. This is, if you see the double asterisk, that's Bud. Put another asterisk there, it says BUD.
I'm fine.
In other words, I'm trying to get them to cooperate with us, which is true, but they're going to have to do that before they can get this permission, okay, to put in the footers.
Well, if it's being inspected, then it should eliminate a lot of problems.
That's true.
And a lot that we'd have less.
I'm hoping. Let me say it that way. I'm hoping that this is the way it's going to be, and we don't see all those people coming up in front of us again. You know, if they do, I'll still have to be able to research and say, well, okay, where is, you've signed this. You said, and you gave us a drawing. Where's the drawing? Present it to the board. Now, it's not going to say that they didn't set it wrong.
No, but if you're requiring them to pay an additional $120 and call for the inspections, then they should not even come before us, because it should be caught in inspection before that.
Should be.
Okay.
Should be.
And then, okay.
So it's a shot at trying to get that done.
And then you would document when the inspection was done or not.
Correct.
If it wasn't done, then there would be no documentation, and therefore the onus would be on the owner and not necessarily the...
What I'm saying is that we've done everything as the county to help these people.
Well, I agree. Something needs to be...
This is just for parks? This is for all now?
No, this is for all.
All manufactured homes.
Good.
All mobile homes.
That's good.
And our inspectors now are doing that. Okay, they're all certified through the state. I had them all certified, and they will be responsible for that.
They're all certifiable?
Yeah, they're all certified now.
When did it come start, bud?
This has been in place, but this hasn't been in place. The asterisk See the double asterisk that I put up there? That's my addition to it through Eddie Parker.
Okay. Oh, that, you added that paragraph to it?
I had that put in there, and I brought it here for your, so you can see what we're doing, because you were very concerned about it. So have I.
Oh, that's good.
We have too many people coming in here for variances that really could have been eliminated, you know. We talked about the discussion on windmills and solar panels. I think Rick, and I asked Rick to give me an opinion on the height limitation, and I think he can explain that better. And
yeah, the question came up about the heights of these things, because the way the ordinance reads, if you have a freestanding one, you have 100 feet. 100 feet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we also have situations where they're attached to dwellings. And so the question came up, can they still go up to 100, or are they limited to the size of the house? And I looked at it from the same way we look at a garage you're going to build next to your house. If you attach it to your home, it has to be the same setback as the house, because now you're part of the house. If you detach it, keep it separate, then you only have to have that 5 foot variant or 5 foot setback, as long as you're under 600 square feet. So I looked at it the same way as with these things. If you're attaching these poles and the windmills to the house, you become part of the house itself, and now you're at a 42 foot limit. If you want to use a freestanding one someplace else on the property, you're still under that 100 foot limit.
Mm-hmm.
Seemed like the easiest way to analogize it under the existing ordinance. Now, of course, if there's going to be changes, that's one of the things the county can look at.
And getting into the windmills, well, let me just get into the solar panels first of all. The solar panels are starting to be an issue also in the county. And from what I see, they're freestanding, okay? And some of them are standing outside the house, in other words, on the right or left of the house. And we're handling them now as we're handling anything else as far as their freestanding. In other words, they've got to meet the setbacks, the side and the front. In other words, you can't have a solar panel in front being, encroaching into, say, the 40 or 30-foot setback.
How do they differ from these shelters or the freestanding awnings?
Freestanding awnings?
Yeah, where people, little carports, people...
Well, carports. We had nothing to do with the as far as those little portable carports. That's policy, and Mr. Lankes said we don't bother with those, okay? Because they're like portable, okay? That's his analogy of that. But carports, of course, the permanent carports they put up there, they must meet the setbacks. Yes. Now this is going to be a permanent structure.
Right, but some of these carports are too when they anchor them in concrete.
Well, sure. Well, that has to be determined when they go on site whether it's anchored in concrete. But a lot of them aren't, And like my next door neighbor, he takes his up, puts it up in the summer, and takes it down, in the fall.
The ones with the metal roofs?
No, the ones with the metal roofs are carports.
Canvas.
I'm talking about the canvas ones, okay? With the where you just put the
for some
tubing up.
Yeah.
Okay. We don't bother with those at all because they are,
Because I've ridden down the road and I've seen, the reason I asked that, I've ridden down the road and I've seen, one day there's not one of those there and the next day there is.
Yeah.
And then I never saw any permit.
Yeah.
So.
And for your information while you're on that subject, these storage pods, you've seen them, pods.
Mm-hmm.
They are also... portable. Must meet the setbacks.
What do you do? They're portable, though.
Still, they're a structure. They can almost a permanent structure where you have to. Again, gentlemen, that's policy, and policy is set by our director, and that's what he has said, that they are used as. They must. In other words, you can't set them in the front yard.
Right.
Something like that,
How about set them in a driveway?
As long as they're 30 feet or 40 feet back, whatever.
Have you been busting any of them yet?
Some of them, oh yeah, we sure have. Going over to Peninsula, there was three of them over there we're working on right now.
Yeah.
There's sitting, three of them sitting out in the front yard.
Like they're together.
They're working on that. Something that maybe the council should address in the ordinance if it's not done already, the difference to...
I'm making a list.
Address portable and permanent.
Yeah, that one there, plus the, remember all the years you've been talking about, we only sell four and 8 foot sections of fences. I'm addressing that. I'm addressing also the solar panels. Now, the other issue is we wanted to discuss was the windmills.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be a big thing. It's going to be coming up the pike. We've got to have some standards in there. We just can't, in other words, we got to have standard.
We do. The ordinance says less than 5 acres. It's got to have a...
No, I'm talking about it, the construction, almost like what we did with our towers, okay, that they have to be a certain, how should I say, construction. They're worried about things like this. They're worried about whether they will hold up under windage, whether they will...
But I don't think
Tom,
that should...
Tom, let me finish.
I'm sorry.
Whether they'll be able to be attached to a house and not, okay, affect the house in any way as far as whether it's on the top of the peak of the roof, tearing out of the roof, that this would be, this their concern, especially down in the shore area, is will my kids be safe? Will these things up there, will this thing blow over at some point in time? Would this, do that? Is there any standards? Do you have people have any standards that you keep to that?
I don't think it's our position or our purpose
it's not.
Because here's why I say that. We tried some things with towers like lighting.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, we were wrong.
But I'm going that
county council was wrong, according to the FAA.
Right, and so, I'm going that route also. That is also on the agenda. What I'm seeking from you gentlemen is the advice that I can present to council, what you would like to see. Would you like to see an engineering?
I'd like to see them research it and find out what's safe with it and put that in the ordinance.
Well, I kind of think so, too, because you guys...
That's exactly what I wanted to hear you say.
Because
that's the orders you're asking me to seek, and that's what they want me to ask you. So what I would do, what I would go after, probably look into other areas. In other words, the people that have them up.
Go look at them.
Go look at them, get some information for the for council.
Mm-hmm. The West Coast could probably give you all the information you need.
There's so many types of them out here, isn't there?
Tons of them.
Yeah, these towers. I mean, yeah.
And we do have some up now that I could go out. Now, the comment was made to me that they sound like an air conditioning, quote unquote, an air conditioning when it's running like 25 mile an hour, something like that. But it gets up higher than that and gets up there. It's really very loud. They say it's very loud. Now, I've never been near one. I don't know.
Well, what the testimony that we've heard is that the wind at low wind speeds, the windmill is it's no different than ambient noise. As wind speed increases and produces noise of its own, so does this, you know, so do the windmills. So I don't see, you know, where it's...
Well, that's what I'm supposed to, that's what I'm going to try and research and make sure that, you know, you have a company, and you start coming before the board here, that, you know, that they're all, we all have the same standards, that I can give the board some standards to go by.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the applicant, it should be... stressed or strongly suggested to any applicant that they you know, that they, as with any variance request or special use exception, that they do address the standards for that.
Right.
Because that's where we run into problems when we have opposition.
That's what I'm going after.
And you know, that's, and we tried to strongly suggest that ourselves to these applicants, and they seem to come back and say, oh, it won't affect the neighborhood. And, you know, that's just, doesn't quite get it.
Right. Doesn't do the job.
Why doesn't it is the question.
Like if, like you were talking about decibels, I'll just pick anything out of the air. Say, you know, you must meet 15 decibels. You're one company, you're another company, you come in and say, well, I got to meet, you know, there's the standards I got to meet. This is what I got to meet before I go to the board if I want an adjustment somewhere. It would stand 85 mile an hour winds, at least, or something like that, you know, where now we just take them what they tell us.
Right, only an engineer can determine
right.
whether, you know, it's going to stand in a certain wind condition.
That's an issue now that I thought, you know, I could discuss with you and get some information from you, but, you know, the way I'm pursuing it, that's where I'm headed, to try and get some answers for you on this board. And,
personally,
you know, I just need some help, you know.
I'd like some feedback as to how county council feels about windmills,
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? I know how some feel about them, but I don't know how all of them feel about them. I think that they realize that they're going to be an issue in the future.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The way cell towers were.
Right. And before the, you know, the requests become, I mean, right now, the only thing we have to gauge is that they don't want to see windmills on less than 5 acres because the ordinance says so. But given, you know, I think that was a windmill of a different time.
Yeah.
When that ordinance was written, but now they have a whole different.
Whole new thing. That's the reason I'm getting involved.
That 5 acres is a little tough.
So I think
really tough.
It would be prudent for them to address that now, and instead of waiting until we have another mobile home on 5 acres or less than 5 acres issue.
That's right. That's exactly what's going to happen. If we don't do something.
To be proactive instead of us being right. reactive.
Mm-hmm. Exactly what I'm trying to do. And it's going to be a tough issue again because there's so many variables out there right now. With different, what research I did do, which was very little, but just enough to get into it, there are different companies that have different standards and different, selling points. I don't know whether these are just selling points or these are safe things, you know, that the public has to take a look at.
But are you going to look at the, it's going to be a poll or how it's going to be set? You're going to make a standard for that?
There'd be standards. You would probably have to make standards the same way as we did for engineering standards.
Yeah, for each, say it's a double or a single, what size pole it's got to be for each one of those?
Because they're doubling up now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're different kinds. The different ones that go around this way,
yeah.
ones that go around, and there's different forces that are put on the
structure.
And this construction, right, of them.
As it stands right now, you could. With the ordinance the way it is, you could put a windmill 15 in an AR1, 15 feet from the side property line, 100 feet in the air on an inch and a half pole.
Yeah.
As long as you got 5 acres.
That's right.
Which would be dangerous.
Would it?
Inch and a half pole?
It's assumed it would be, but.
But there's nothing there that says
it would be.
Oh, no.
You know, I mean.
Well, I would never put one 100 foot.
You would no, think,
no
you
I
would,
wouldn't.
You would think that the Empire State Building is swaying so many feet in either direction would be dangerous too.
You look at a flagpole like that.
If you you must meet this. You must have so many guide wires or something for, you know what I'm saying? That's where I'm heading. In other words, it's not. Yeah, there's
a lot of questions.
There's a good possibility that thing would blow over in a 40 mile an hour or not a.
Do we have 85?
Do we have standards on flagpoles?
On flagpoles, no.
So I could put 150-foot, well, I'm in town, but if I had AR1 property, I could put 150-foot flagpole in the middle on my property, no matter how big it was. Or
yeah, I've never seen anything on a flagpole. Yeah. You know anything about a flagpole, Rick? I've never heard of that one. That's a good question. I don't think so.
They put them up 50-footers all the time.
He's on windmills.
I have a 20-footer in my yard.
Oh, okay.
I do too.
But anyway, that's where I'm heading.
You got a gentleman to ask something. Huh? I mean, you got a gentleman to feed on that. Want to ask a question?
Yeah.
Can I come up? How you doing?
Fine, sir.
I need to be sworn in.
No, you won't have to be. No, sir.
I was invited by Mr. Budd to come. My name's Greg Minosh. Really echoes. But I was before you about a month and a half ago, I guess. A gentleman came to seek a variance for 2 windmills, and he was on less than 5 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was before you before, I asked about trying to change the code that's written in the books right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go and present myself to the council presented an idea that hopefully we can try to work together to change the acreage limitation and the cost for the special conditional use application variance for a resident to come here. And the council suggested to Mr. Lang, I think he was, I'm trying to go by recollection, but invited me to get up with you guys to do that. And fortunately, I got a call from Mr. Budd to come here also. So a lot of things you guys are saying are some great questions. And hopefully, I have installed one on my property in Dagsboro, and it's a SkyStream 3.7. I don't know if you still, I don't have a picture of it, but at the time, I did give you a picture and some information, some statistics on the back of it. Some of the things that you brought up are really good. Tower construction, I can only tell you what mine is, and maybe help use that as a guide when you come out, and I'd certainly like to invite you out to my place to look at it. But it's galvanized steel. It's on a 33-foot, it's a 33-foot tower. It weighs about 900 pounds. That is, I purchased directly from the manufacturer, and the manufacturer in their service manual, owner's manual, states that with the specific foundation that I have and the specific pole, that it's survivable based on different regions of the country. I think it was up to 160 to 140 miles an hour. And that's based on soil types, it's and wind survivability. So that's a question that you brought up.
I never thought of that. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I never thought of that soil. The soil has to do with it now, too.
Yeah,
I understand.
I've given a proposal to a business, and you may see them here, and they would like to put 2 up at the Vines Creek, Brandon Hart, at the Vines Creek Office Center there. And I started looking into it, and fortunately, my father-in-law is a retired soil scientist from the USDA, and he said, "Ooh, you need to like check this," because I was thinking, "Oh, great, I just put this pad out there, and
in sand."
And then, they built there with a lot of fill, and he said, he kind of explained to me that you'd probably need something similar to a lollipop, you know, pylons driven. They have gone and got engineering diagrams, but that's something that you're going to be probably concerned with too, because you know, if I was a neighbor and somebody's building one on a marshy type area, is that structure going to fall? So that's one thing you might want to keep in on your list of concerns. The other is the noise. On that paper that you guys got last time, I know you don't have it here, it says the sound in terms of decibels is 45. You mentioned something earlier about conversation with somebody else.
60.
This is 45 decibels at 40 feet, 12 meters, but it doesn't say what wind speed that was taken at. I can only assume, since they're giving this information in terms of rated wind speed of 20, that 45 dB is at the 20 mile an hour speed. Let's see, the other is your concern, Mr. Mills, was how the council feels about wind turbines, and it seems like they kind of pushed that issue to you guys to try to change the variance. Mr. Vance Phillips, in several cell phone conversations with him, did agree that things needed to be changed, and he was, as he said, campaigning on my behalf and invited me up at that time to speak. So I think they're open to change, but I think they want to get as much information as they can from Mr. Budd and the rest of you gentlemen, what direction really to go. The manufacturer that I use, and again, I'm not trying to turn this into a commercial, but the manufacturer that I use and their manual states that, you know, it's good for a half acre land. Obviously, no one wants these things up as a monument to the wind, so they recommend it being 20 feet higher than the highest obstacle within 250 to 300 feet. So that's not exactly the case where I live, but I know what direction the prominent wind is, and I'm taking advantage of that, and I can negate the loss of the height. But that may be something, too. You know, as a half acre of land is going to be probably too small for most people. I know you mentioned about the three quarters of an acre of land for mobile. My parents live on about three quarters of an acre of land on the other shore, and that's a pretty good-sized piece of land, but you probably wouldn't want to have anything probably higher than a 50-foot tower just because of possibility of falling on somebody's property. So as a minimum, I'd say probably my recommendation would be three quarters of an acre, maybe a minimum of maybe an acre. You've certainly got enough guides that you can it's open to change whatever. It doesn't have to follow anything that's already published and written. I personally think, and the people that I've spoken to, one of the first questions that anybody asks me about information about putting one of these up, since I'm selling and installing them, is how much land do you have? Because of that 5 acre minimum. To me, I think that's excessive. I think an acre probably minimum. Anything in between would probably be pretty fair. The other is, because of the 5 acre minimum and what's on the books right now, that $400 application fee just to come before you to even possibly get turned down, and that's non-refundable, obviously, is because it's taking up your time, secretary's time, council's time, everybody's time. I think it's an undue expense on your time and the residents' finances. One, it increases return on investment. So for a wind turbine that's producing only a small portion of energy, you're hoping over a long period of time, $400 is a lot of money. So your return on investment is increased. The second is, by the time they're really ready and excited to do something, they've got to wait till the next board meeting. It could get tabled. There's months of timeline in the project. Well, that could be loss of, you know, taking advantage of the spring or the fall winds, too. So those are my biggest concerns. The acreage limitation, yes, it's 5 acres, and you brought that up, Mr. Mills. All due respect, but I think it needs to be changed. And, you know, if you can change, if somebody wants something less than the 1 acre, if that's what you go with, then maybe reduce that application fee for the special conditional use variance from something from 400 maybe to 100, something that's more reasonable, that somebody doesn't really mind taking a chance at getting approved or disapproved from a neighbor or the homeowners association or something like that. So
not to make you feel like a yo-yo, but the 5 acres, that's county council's decision in the ordinance.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we can't change that.
No, what their recommendation was, they wanted something from you. Again, this is like only the third time I've been in this arena. So they wanted information from Mr. Budd and I guess you guys, what you would want to see as a minimum or standard. I guess Mr. Budd would present that to them, and then they would approve or deny whether that's an acceptable value or go back and seek another another amount or anything like that.
And the $400 is also there that they set those.
They set the fee.
Right. Now, so I think that
what I'm suggesting is that we're not experts, and by no means, nor we have limited, if any, knowledge about windmills. I think that, and certainly not, you know, they put it, they somewhat, sort of put it in that, back in our lap. Personally, I think that they should, you know, consult some experts themselves, mm-hmm. the council, to determine what is safe, what is reasonable, what is, answers all those questions.
Right.
And then write ordinances accordingly. We don't have that ability or power, nor do okay. we necessarily want it. All we do is grant
right.
Exceptions to whatever ordinances they put into law.
Right. Now, I understand that. It seems like they were seeking information from you and in what direction to go, and you being...
We don't know.
I think, in all fairness, they're looking what direction to go, and I'm trying to get some information from
right.
them and you, and I will be seeking a lot of other people's information and input.
Absolutely.
I would refer to experts, engineers, as to what is safe as far as poles.
Design.
Yeah.
As far as loudness or noise, the experts, again, the engineers, what is acceptable.
As layman, I want to get your input, so that you say, okay, I want to know, how high I'm allowed to go or how much wind will this thing withstand, and do mm-hmm. I have to be afraid of this, or that's what the public want to know.
Right. And I can only state this, you're researching maybe a legitimate, viable company that's selling these kind of products
right.
now to the public. Hopefully, like in what I stated, and I can show you, their manual should have enough engineering research in it to prove that, this system can work in this range, and it's stamped by, their engineers.
I'm definitely going to take you up on that offer to come see it.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And you're
learn something.
You're selling these, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Then
it's not my full-time occupation. I do it on the side, but
I guess if I was in your position, coming before the board, then in layman's terms, I would have those questions answered, because these are special use exceptions, right?
Right.
Okay. The standard for granting a special use exception, which I was stated before, is that it to show that it won't substantially affect adversely uses of adjacent neighboring properties, and so in doing that, if you were prepared to address those concerns, issues of any opposition, then that would, in my opinion, would be sufficient in showing that it would, wouldn't substantially affect adversely.
Right, that it would be approved. That their variance would be approved if I could show.
Well, you would have a stronger argument than opposition who was not equally as prepared and just says, I don't want it next door to my house.
Right.
They too would have to show, as the opposition, where it would substantially affect adversely. If you come forward with, hard facts that this pole will withstand certain, wind speeds in this type of soil, if, the sound levels, for example, everybody knows, is familiar with, the old Tommy watch is ticking. And according to, I think I got this from Wikipedia, that's a sound level of 30 dBA. And I think the windmill tonight was 2 to 16 dBA.
Right.
So significantly less, in fact, about half of what a ticking watch would be. So you use those comparisons and that information with those hard facts, then the onus is back on them to prove otherwise.
Right.
And then, given that information, we can make a decision as to whether or not it would substantially affect adversely. Now, when you're talking about heights, it's a different issue. When you're asking for a height variance, then there are 5 standards that you have to meet for granting a variance. Bud can give you, a copy of those standards, and the more directly you address those, then the onus again is on any opposition to prove otherwise.
Okay.
So what this board is seeking is almost like, and what they want me to try and do, is almost like the commercial communications towers, where it says the applicant shall submit to the Board of Adjustment documents showing that the existing structures within a 2 mile area, okay, radius of the proposed location are not are available for co-location. In other words, under those just, you know, you go where, you know where I'm going with this? In other words,
does that 100-foot minimum that's in there now
would be setting up
would be
you.
Would fall under that 2 mile limitation?
Beg your pardon?
The height, the tower height that's in there now, 110, 115 feet, does that fall under that 2 mile radius that you're a diameter?
I was giving you
he's talking about towers.
I'm talking about communication towers. I was saying we had to do that for the board, so the board had something to work from, and that's what John's trying to tell you. He has something that this board can make a decision on.
Right.
Right now, they're making a decision on what you're telling them.
Right, sure.
And those facts are, I think, to us, not strong and not supportive enough. If you came to us and you said, you know, this is a specific type of soil, and you know, I don't know, because I don't know the predominant, yet. But if you could show us hard facts that, given this type of soil and this type of structure, that it would take, you know, 150 mile an hour wind to push the pole over, and have you know, professional documentation towards that, then we can't argue
right.
that it won't.
Right.
And nor can the opposition.
Right. Well, and I can get all the supporting documents. Anybody that has to come before you gentlemen, I plan on in my business being there to support them, and I can bring the manual to hopefully, you know, present and as much information in favor of it.
And I would suggest converting whatever information you get into layman's terms so that the opposition understands that
right.
as well.
So we can put it in
or,
here.
Or so that we can understand it, because, yeah. you know, we're not engineers.
Right. But I wouldn't know any opposition until it finally came to you, and then I can try to present that during right. the hearing. I just hate for, to me, again, the 5 acres seems a little excessive.
Well, and that's why this board's here, yeah. so we can grant for less than 5 acres. But we have to be assured that in granting that we're not subjecting, you know, the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties adversely.
Right.
Or to adversity.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time, gentlemen.
Okay.
I got a question. Do you test a wind speed? I mean, were different towers with different heights? I understand it. I mean, where I'm at, I got wind all the time.
Right.
We're saying in development or in some place you don't have the wind. Is that just for the height of the tower then?
Well, a couple things to answer that. One, there is the national chart that shows you, based on your region, what level of wind you can expect, but they're very generic for Delaware.
Uh-huh.
The second is I've acquired information from the University of Delaware that has a climatology department that they have different stations throughout Delaware. And you can kind of pinpoint down about where you are in triangulation to those other towers and sites to figure out what the wind speed is.
There's a gentleman not far from you out on 404 that collects data for, I believe, NOAA, weather data that you know, at any given time can tell you what the wind speed
right.
is in your area.
And they not only, those towers are only 12 feet, though, but there's mathematical algorithm that can tell you how fast the wind's traveling in certain elevations and heights. And you can use that to figure out whether really it's an advantage to go to this height or higher. Mine's only 33 feet, and I decided to go with 33 feet versus 50 because the amount of increase in production was like in the tenths of a percent. Well, that to me I didn't feel it warranted the additional cost in the tower to do that. But that could be one thing, too, that I could bring in also as evidence that we need this height versus that.
Yeah.
Hope that answered your question.
Yes, you answered it.
All right.
Right.
It's my understanding that the you get a much better payback down towards the coast as opposed to being inland. Is that correct?
Being further inland, yes.
You'd have to go typically higher inland to get
right.
something.
Better return.
Yeah, you get a better return. Return. You would.
Yeah, because right. compressed area.
I was on the internet, and there's an awful lot of companies now that are coming on each week that I went on there.
Oh, yeah.
Since you started, there's a lot of people getting into the business now because they see the market for it
right
now.
Right. And one thing, too, you know, and I don't know if it's something that should be added later either, but in order, the Green Energy Program, I don't know if you're familiar with it at all, but they give you a rebate when putting up an alternative energy resource.
Source.
And one of the requirements of the Green Energy Program is that the unit or the appliance has at least a minimum of a 5-year warranty. So that may be one way to, you know, in terms of protection for the county, have a reputable business, hopefully, that is warranting their product, because if they're brand new and they don't have it out yet, they may not be able to warranty it, you know, to that 5-year minimum. So that might be something, too, to think about, Mr. Budd, in terms of what kind of warranties or protections do they have to kind of back up their product.
Typically, warranties are for manufacturer defects and not wind blowing it over.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, if their engineering is correct, then you install it correctly per code in their design,
and
you're covered all on all corners, right?
And the right type of soil.
Yeah, and the right type of soil, exactly.
Is all yours freestanding?
Yes.
Freestanding?
Yes.
Not
no guide wires, independent. You know, it's not made to be attached to a home.
Okay.
No. I've had people ask me, and it's like, no, I wouldn't put it up.
I wouldn't want a 900 pole sitting next to my
No, home. You know, how are you going to, between the pole and the generator, you're looking at 1,100 pounds.
Right.
How are you going to have that thing up there with possible wind loads? I can't imagine the kind of structure you'd need to have that, you know, connected to the house.
That's exactly what people are concerned with. You know,
right.
That's where I'm
right.
going.
The neighbors.
Right. And your point exactly. I have an 1.5-inch galvanized pipe on a 100-foot pole and a wind turbine that has a 12-foot diameter. Where's the data to support that for the homeowner that's 50 feet away?
Right.
So
that was the concern.
That was a major concern to me.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Budd, thank you for your time.
Okay.
You have my number, I believe, still. Gentlemen, thank you for your time. I'm sure I'll see you again. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
So, gentlemen, you know where I'm heading with this anyway. And, gosh, if you're riding along and you think of something for me to check, tell me. Just give me a holler and leave it on my... I know I don't expect you to be thinking about it all the time, but if you do, if you see something or you come up with an idea you want me to check out and make sure I cover.
Have we come up with a way for us to make it easier for us to locate some of these properties?
Locate some of these properties? Why? with a GPS or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I bought one on my own, but I haven't had the race from the county in quite some time.
Haven't you really? I'll be darned.
They've just given me more work.
Well, you know, they...
Yeah. But the GPS one, he helped us on that one on the for the boat ramp.
No.
Because I had one in the car and I put that in there.
Yeah. Shucks.
Let me buy it.
Yeah, I took me somewhere else.
Oh, so another boat ramp, like 2 miles down the road.
So yeah. It made no difference.
What made no difference? If we'd had two of them.
Where did you... Where?
Thanks for your support.
You punched in an I-1-1?
No, the address on the application.
On the application?
Oh, the application. Yeah, right.
I punched it right
there.
There's
an application wrong now.
Because my wife had one, I punched it in.
Yeah, that's fine.
Left my house and took it to it. It took me down.
Wrong address.
That's where that guy lives at.
Then they can put GPS coordinates on.
Right.
He did.
Took right to his place.
I would say something's wrong.
And there's no problem with him.
Yeah,
he should be down there.
He should, actually, Bud could just, you know, on the applications, put GPS coordinates.
I mean, okay.
He can get those from where his inspector goes out and posts the sign.
I didn't.
Because they have to, you know, the GPS tracking he has now can tell him that.
He could end up asking mom in the back.
But what John is suggesting that now I educate people in computer usage.
Oh, God.
It's not an easy thing to do.
We tried that.
Yeah. A lot of people thought
we tried that.
Fox.
Yeah. Need a motion?
Motion to adjourn.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you a lot.
All in favor?
I appreciate it.
All opposed? Meeting is adjourned, subject to call.
Peter Chip on the back of Bud's head.
See y'all on Sunday.